something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT,
we take you back to the 1950s.
It's our new call-in show with Deandra.
And Taggart and Toolsy? That's all coming up right now on TNT.
It's what's 54. Going on, Sherm? Hey, Sherm.
Yeah, what can I do for you?
I was just wondering if I could get an omelet, some milk, an apple pie slice with some cheese on it, thanks.
Hey, you gonna pay this time or should you beat feet?
Come on, Sherman, you know who you're talking to. Hey!
I don't know, we get into trouble serving beatniks like you around these parts. It is 1954, after all.
It is 1954, but I'll tell you one thing. The Dodgers are looking pretty good this year. You gotta see that.
They're never going anywhere for the foreseeable future.
Listen, we got the best catcher in Roy Campanella. We got Jackie Robinson. We got Sandy Koufax. Who you got?
Sandy Koufax is a well-known bird dog. That's someone who tries to steal your girl.
Hey, hurry up with my apple pie, all right?
Hey, settle down, Big Daddy.
Hey, take it easy. Hey, you see the gams on that girl over there?
Yeah, that's a big tickle, which means real funny. No, I see them, but I don't want to see them. I can never unscrew them. I wish I could scrape my retinas.
Hey, what are you doing here, Gino?
I know, I kind of did slip into Gino real quick. It's because I was up all night playing backseat bingo.
I tell you what, I got this new dame on my arm. She really likes that Ritchie Valens music. I don't know what to do, you know?
Was Ritchie Valens music in the 50s?
Yeah, that La Bamba. I can't hear it all the time.
Oh, yeah, is that La Bamba?
It sure is. I mean, I'm more of a, you know, Liebert and Stola, Tin Pan Alley guy.
I don't know. Me, I just like the burn rubber.
Hey, Doris, I'll have another ice cream on this piece of cake in the pie here.
Now I'm still in the B's for 50 slang. I'm quite limited, which is why I'm busting a gut. And try to get some bread, but that's boss.
Guess what? Me and Gus were out the other night. Got a little bit crazy. I was seeing snakes by 7:30.
Wow, that is crazy. In fact, did you have your binoculars on?
I did.
Because that means glasses. I tell you something. I was out in a Bent 8 the other night, which is a V8 engine. And we burn rubber, which means to accelerate hard and fast.
You mind if I put another dime and play this one again? I love this Shaboom. The Crew Cuts are my new songs, favorites.
It's been so long since I baked biscuits, which means to make records.
Making records? Boy, these guys are hot.
I only like songs that start with... Do you have any of those?
Hey, I heard that... there's a guy who wrote this song. What's his name again?
Frankie Valli.
No, that guy who ended up riding Wild Horses. What's his name?
Oh, Gino Vannelli.
No, the other guy.
Oh, Joe?
No, the tough guy.
Oh, yeah, right, from way back.
that guy, who?
Huh. I can't remember his name, but I'd have to cast an eyeball back at that because I'm now in the C's for slang.
Well, you know, he writes all the time. He's got that Neil Diamond kid under his wing.
Is he the guy that always wears the cheaters, or in other words, sunglasses?
I don't know, but I know why. I look like Roy Campanella today with his pie in my gut.
Hey, didn't that tough guy get circled last summer? Or in other words, married?
What's that? I can't hear you. We're looking at Carl Erskine's stats.
Aw, come on, Snake.
Snake?
Let's rattle. That's if you want to ask a girl to dance or a guy to fight. Hey, come on, Snake, let's rattle.
Oh, no way, like out front of the diner?
Yeah.
Come on, Snake.
I saw you trying to push up on my girl. Come on, Snake, let's rattle.
I've been keen to fight all day.
Keen.
Yeah.
I see you looking at my girl, and I know she has a classy chassis. Come on, Snake, let's rattle.
A classy chassis.
You're cruising for a bruising. So cut the gas.
So cut the gas. It's 1:54.
Cut the gas means be quiet. Cut the gas.
Cut the gas is great for be quiet.
Speaking of be quiet.
What?
You're on your vacation in Muskoka.
I'm up in, well, yeah, I'm on the vacation days.
You don't want to upset the wildlife or what have you.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. I'm looking at a stump with many holes in it from woodpeckers just getting right into things on it.
So, you're in a cottage on the lake.
Yeah.
Lake
Joseph.
Do you notice a difference every summer in the kids' abilities to, like, cannonball and stuff?
Oh, yeah. Well, now they're, John and Jack are level 8 swimmers, and Anna's, like, 6 now almost. So they're all really, really good swimmers now. They're so
nice.
They still wear life jackets when they're out jumping and up and down off into the water, out in deep water. But they can, if we're there, they could swim without them. We just do it for safety.
That's right.
But yeah, they can swim like more strokes than I can. That's for sure.
Do they look forward? They must look forward to this all year.
Yes, definitely. They love it.
So do you park the technology too?
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, there is, like, it's nice. It's very, very nice. So they can, there is like Wi-Fi, but there is, you know, we're out doing stuff all the time. So if it's just actually starting to get, it was thundery and stormy looking this morning. Now the sun's coming back out. So there was a little bit of technology going on for the morning, but we're going to be outside soon enough. They're going to be going outside right now, I bet, because it's sunny. Rebel's up here running around sniffing shit in the forest.
So he's having a ball.
Yeah, he's going crazy. Yeah, it's good times. What are you doing? You got the pool up. The kids are swimming.
Pool's open, bud.
It's open.
Pool's open, and today is fence day. So Cookie was here drilling fence posts with an auger.
So does that mean...
My buddy Jamie is putting the fence posts in. 80 bags of concrete, mixing it by hand. Because we get so much wind that you have to make sure they're down 4 feet in the ground.
Wow.
Because otherwise, come spring of the year, bud, it'll uproot.
I know, but it's so up. But the girls are loving it already. They're in there.
Yeah, they really are. Any should we or shouldn't we? I mean, it's early days. And there's already some evidence that, you know, they require maintenance and there's stuff to figure out. And it's like learning a new language. But any should we or shouldn't we is kind of erased in the rearview mirror when you see them do cannonballs, you know?
Yeah.
And especially, I don't know if it's the same there, but it's been 40 degrees. Like,
oh, wow.
Whatever, 30, 34 plus humidity. Like, just
in
crazy
time,
unprecedented heat here.
Mm-hmm.
So this was the summer to do it for sure.
This is like, today it's unseasonably cold. It's like 18 degrees.
Isn't that curious, Jeremy?
This is the ones where the old, the nipples just rock and the old wiener goes inside.
Like you're smuggling pencil erasers.
I'm in like a cock in cold water.
A C and CW.
Is that a band name, remember? A Foot in Cold Water?
Was that really a band?
Yeah, it's a Canadian band.
A Foot in Cold Water?
Yeah.
Don't remember them.
When I feel the very warm ones. That one.
We should shine a spotlight on Canadian one-hit wonders, because there are a lot of them.
Yeah, that's a good one, though.
I know we've talked about Tal Bachman before. She's So High was a jam.
Yeah, this is like the old school version of One Hit Wonder.
One Hit Blunder. Jeremy Taggart, tonight is the rap party for the last season of Mr. D.
Whoa, really?
Which is crazy, yeah. Jerry actually, in his wisdom, started having the rap parties a few days before we actually rap. And at first, you know, people are such in love with tradition. First, people are like, I don't know, it's weird. The whole point of a rap party is you wait till you rap. But here's the nice thing. Having the rap party before the actual rap takes away all the melancholy-ness that can come with having it at the very end, like hugging and weeping. So instead, this is actually a celebration, and you do get to say, see you on Monday. But
yeah, so that's
8 years, man.
That's nuts, yeah.
It's a long time, and this is the series wrap. It will not be back after this year.
Yeah. So it must have been quite, was it emotional, the last little bit?
Well, I think it's kind of landing for everybody that this is the end, and it's pretty great job. It's nice people, and the hours are good, and I get to sleep in my own bed every night. Like, as far as a win in my business goes, it's about the best gig going. You know, go to work, have some laughs, make up some funny jokes, visit with your friends, food's good. So there's a lot to love about it for that reason. And I sometimes maybe take for granted the fact that it's in Halifax and how rare that is. Like if I was on Heartland, I'd have to go to Calgary and either we'd have to move there as a family or I'd have to be away more than I'd like. And neither of those is an ideal scenario. Don't get me wrong. Calgary's a great place.
Yeah. Wow.
But I went this week to Prince Edward Island to work on a web series called Wharf Rats. And I just love in my career doing things at different levels. Like Mr. D is obviously network, primetime, CBC, sitcom, eighth season. It's a well-oiled machine. Everybody knows their job. Everybody executes. But something like Wharf Rats is kind of a newer thing. It's a smaller crew. It's a labor of love. People wear eight hats instead of one. Yeah. But there's always, I always leave those experiences fired up because there's so much passion and what people lack in resources they make up for in enthusiasm. And that's sometimes better because everyone's so jazzed to get it done and excited to be working on something and, you know, they have an ownership in it and they have a vested interest in the outcome. And man, it was really fun. It was nice to work with, some young people.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting though, that, when you put it that way, cause people get used to seeing it every week for a long time throughout the year, as opposed to it being, you know, whether it's 6 weeks of your life, a year.
Yeah.
That's kind of, that's how I can see for the perspective of the person watching, they get closer to it because it's almost impossible for you to get that close to it when it's stretched over time and there's, you know, the perspective of what's happening and not knowing what's going on. You know what I mean? It's interesting that it really is kind of probably more dramatic for the person that's really got something connected with the show, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I'm sure for Jerry, it's been such a big chapter of his life. Like,
definitely
his kids have spent the last 8 summers out here. Like, they haven't, two of them, haven't lived in Toronto in the summertime, even though that's where they live and go to school and everything. I haven't had August off in 8 years, and I'm not saying that as a complaint in any way, but it's just kind of wild that I'm going to have some free time in the month of August.
It's pretty it's funny for playing a teacher saying I finally get the summer back.
Yeah, right. it's not dissimilar to your yearly trips to Muskoka. It's kind of like a time-lapse photograph of life. Like, think how much my life has changed in the 8 years. I have an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old.
Crazy. Well, I'm sure Jerry will probably maintain that now that the kids have kind of gotten used to that, sure, because it's part of their makeup now, the feeling of going there, and it's seasonal in your blood, you know what I mean, when you feel that, it's like,
yeah, for sure, like maybe it won't hit till next spring when they're not ramping up to come out here. But anyway, kind of a strange chapter or strange moment for this big chapter to be over, but you know, I think everyone's really thankful to have the work and all that. But there's lots going on here, man. It's great. There's lots of film stuff going on.
Here's a question. Is this the best resolve of a TV show that you've done in your career?
As far as the scripts go?
Well, for big roles that you've had in your career have ended in certain different ways, whether good or bad or indifferent. Is this kind of the most, I guess, happy and and easy because it's just been such a kind of successful ride, and the fact that it's decided upon that it's over and everyone's
yeah, I guess it's not often that you would know before you shot the last episode. Typically you'd shoot the season and wait to hear if the network was going to do it again, and more often than not that's how you find out it's over versus getting to choose to do it. And you know, Jerry was quite vocal about what a luxury that is, and it's really true. So I don't know if that'll make it harder or easier. But I feel like, especially if you look at a character like his, who, you know, always does the wrong thing, doubles down on being inappropriate, all that stuff. From a writing standpoint, what do you do with that? It's like Dumb and Dumber. They should still, to keep with tradition, they should still make a dumb decision at the very end, which was Jim Carrey's argument with the Swedish bikini team. But audiences are conditioned to kind of want a bit of a happy ending too. So I think, without giving it away, I think the writers managed to strike a balance in staying true to who his character is, but it still kind of feels like, oh, well, that's nice.
And there's also that big stigma of like terrible last episodes in great comedies, right? Like Seinfeld, for example.
Like, I know, but when you think about like it, kind of, it was inevitably disappointing, but what were you hoping for?
Well,
I don't mean you, I mean one, because I was disappointed in it too, but what else would it have been?
Yeah, I would say because they tried to do something different, where all of a sudden they were wrong, they got, you know, basically they had to suffer the consequences of being how they were for once, which kind of doesn't grind, it grinds against what the show's all about. So it's just weird to. I don't think it was a good idea to take that turn right at the end. It makes sense in a finality kind of way, but it's kind of doesn't make sense in terms of what the show was. So I can see what you mean. If you stay true to the course of what it is, it could be a great thing. I think I don't remember how Corner Gas ended, but I'm sure that seemed like it was kind of happy and sweet.
Well, the Seinfeld thing, I don't remember how Corner Gas ended either. But the Seinfeld thing, it's funny because on paper, if you read, finally, Jerry, Elaine, Kramer, and George get some of what they're due, you'd be like, oh yeah, okay, that makes sense. That's the perfect way to button it up. But comedically, it's kind of a 180 from what the show is always about.
Mm-hmm. But and also, I don't know if they would be like making fun of an overweight guy getting robbed ever in the show. You know, I think they're kind of assholes, but they weren't that bad. You know, just all of a sudden to be like filming it and thinking it's funny that an overweight guy is getting robbed. Like, that's just kind of what the hell was Larry David thinking there? But that's why the show is on there still. It's got some great spots and it's got some low points.
But this is the thing, and I noticed this a little bit in the last season or two of Mr. D, and maybe it was the same with J-Rock to a degree when, or other characters on Trailer Park, when a show is on that many seasons, of course, in your desire to shake things up, you start to do things that are counter the character's core DNA.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's like panicky stunt writing. Like, wait a second, this person wouldn't act this way in this situation.
Yeah, well, it's like if you lived 200 years, you'd probably end up feeling some things were, like, redundant, right?
Yeah.
If you had your health the same way and you lived twice or three times the amount, you'd be kind of, like, probably recapturing, oh, I remember the old days when I was 110 and I lived up in that cottage. I'm going back.
But if you were fundamentally, even if you were a bit grumpy on the exterior or a bit sarcastic or whatever, but you were fundamentally a nice person, I don't think you're going to suddenly not be a nice person, right?
Yeah, no, that's not what I mean. I think
I'm talking about TV characters. Like they wouldn't suddenly make fundamentally different choices just because the writers would get antsy.
Totally, and that's a page of when you're working on that page, you're definitely probably just treading water, I guess, right?
Do Do you think Seinfeld's the best TV show of all time?
Yes, hands down. For comedy sitcom, yes. I don't know other like TV shows like Breaking Bad's a pretty great show. I'm just talking about 30-minute comedy. Like I Love Lucy was a great show. The Honeymooners was a great show. I don't think I would say those shows are equal, better, or worse. It's at that level where it's like, can you really, you know, tell me a Monet is better than a Da Vinci?
Right.
It doesn't make it. It's just different at that point. But yeah.
Well, yeah. I Love Lucy. You have to consider the time and the context and how groundbreaking it was, considering it had never been done.
And the Honeymooners, like that first thing of like the working class people having that kind of voice on television.
For its time, it was quite something. But it's crazy. You ever watch like a rerun of All in the Family or something?
Oh, yeah.
By today's standards, it is shocking.
Yeah.
What they were able to get away with.
Every episode was like a lesson in being an idiot. Because, you know, at the end of the day, Archie would look stupid if he said something stupid. Norman Lear was pretty cool about understanding that. And I just don't think people nowadays, for some reason, well, they do now. I mean, with Netflix and all, they go way past what, you know, All in the Family was in terms of content and how whatever they can discuss. So in one way, it's changed that way. But on normal television, I mean, Modern Family, as diverse and different as it seems, it's not even close to what All in the Family did in terms of how they said things and what they said.
No kidding. The networks are so scared to take any chances, though, and that's why they're getting left in the dust.
Yep.
Carol's phone just rang for the second time in a row, and we have to take a break anyway.
Okay, bots.
Be right back, bots.
Yep. Crunch, 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 crunch. Thanks a lot, baby. Get out of here. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. Crunch, 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 crunch.
Hi there, and welcome back to 88.1 The Cove. It's your girl Delilah with you on this Sunday night. How's everything going? Are you taking care of you? Did you practice self-care this weekend? I hope you did, because I know that you can get your heart smashed to smithereens when you're not even paying attention. And this show is kind of about putting it back together. We play some songs that maybe heal. We cry a little bit together. And of course, we take some calls. The theme of this week's episode is transition. And you know what? Life is about chapters. It's okay sometimes to say, that's the end of a chapter. Thank you very much. I'm going to start writing a new one, maybe with someone different. And I think that is the subject of our first caller this hour. It's Dennis who joins us on the line. Hi, Dennis.
Oh, hi, Delilah.
Delilah? No, that's the actual show. My name's Deandra.
Oh, hi, Deandra. I thought you said Delilah.
That's okay. You know what? People confuse us all the time, except if we're being honest, and I'm fine with this, her ratings are substantially better than mine. But if we're putting it all out there, I did have the idea for this show before Delilah came along. It's just, you know, she's got a satellite deal and her show travels further, but it doesn't mean she's better than me in any way whatsoever. I wish her all the power in the world.
Because I call her a lot and I don't really get through, but I got you.
Oh, and you got through on this one. Well, how lucky is that?
First try.
Really?
First try, yeah.
Beginner's luck, as they say.
Yeah.
Well, you can ask Deandra anything. And what's going on in your heart tonight, Dennis?
Well, I was
why
working...
Why don't you start at the start? Because we have a whole hour to fill. So where are you from? Who are you with? Do you have children? How's it going? What's going wrong in your relationship? What's going right? What are you looking for that you have? What are you looking for that you don't?
Well, as you know, my name is Dennis, and I live in Cookstown.
Isn't that great?
And
it's a town named after cooks, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know. I work at Cookstown Auto.
Okay. Now, is it cooks as in people that prepare food, or cooks as in someone's last name?
It's like just off, like not far from the 400 near Barrie.
And is it a town or is it a township? And they just thought township was too long to name the place.
It's kind of, it's town, I guess. It's village.
And are you born and raised there, Dennis?
Yeah. I've been...
Isn't that great?
I was conceived at the tractor pull.
Oh, indeed.
Yeah.
Well, I've always said that the greatest romance happens in the unlikeliest of places, so that is certainly the case in your particular story.
And apparently...
What's going on in your heart, Dennis?
Apparently, there was a Beach Boys tribute playing, too.
Do you remember what they were called?
Forever Summertime or something?
Okay.
Yeah?
Because I've seen Surf and Safari, and I've seen the Help Me Rondas, both great tribute acts.
Anyway, I was working at Corey's Pizza, and I had a girlfriend for a long time.
Isn't that nice?
And we would share rum and raisin, and she gave me a cowboy hat with lights on it that I walk around the town in.
With lights on it? Oh my goodness.
Lights, like would flick and on and off.
Oh, lights, I see. I thought you meant lice.
No, lights.
And lice can live in hats, it's true.
And I know another kid, his name is, I can't remember his name, but he's really big and his bicycle seat is flat. It's 10 speed.
Okay.
But anyway, me and my girlfriend were doing, like, we were girlfriend and boyfriend, and then, like, we're not anymore since like, 7 years ago.
Oh, dear. So it's been over for 7 years.
Yeah, and I'm 43 now, so...
So 36. So I always tell people, Dennis, you know, it's a marathon, it's not a sprint. The heart takes time to heal. I advise taking baths and going for walks and practicing the art of loving the person in the mirror. Can I ask what made the relationship fall apart?
She hit me with a hammer, Delilah.
DeAndra, she did.
She hit me with a hammer.
Do you mean like figuratively or is this literally?
No, it slightly caved in the back of my skull.
Oh, dear. What prompted this hammer, let's call it what it is, a blunt hammer attack?
Well, she had a problem with me playing too much Pac-Man.
Okay, now is Pac-Man a euphemism or is that the actual
video
game?
No, I was at Corey's Pizza playing the flat Pac-Man. Okay. And then she came up and hit me right beside on the head with a hammer and I fell back and hit the cyclone pinball machine.
So in an ironic twist, she was the one to deliver then to the pizza shop, a leveling blow.
And it's just we weren't together now.
I'd like to say seven things about this. The first is we shouldn't joke about, hammer attacks. The second is I would argue that you maybe dodged a bullet, Dennis, because it's okay to raise our voices, and sometimes in passionate circumstances we can exchange words and punch each other in the feelings. But this sounds like there was far more at play here.
Well,
do you see her around?
No, there's a staining on her, but I have like where the hammerhead, it went, the skull, they said is extra hard there, and it's even harder now.
Is the hammer still in your head?
No, they put a steel plate now, and it's actually harder.
Isn't that great? And I bet you get all kinds of reception of different TV channels.
I can tell when it's going to rain, and I also, I'm not...
I'll bet. Well, Dennis, there's certainly a lot to unpack here. I'd like to thank you for calling. Unfortunately, I can't. But we are going to move on to our next caller. Dennis, can you take care for me?
Yeah, thanks, Delilah, now.
DeAndra, yep. Thank you so much for calling. That was Dennis on the line tonight. His heart's hurting. He wishes they made Band-Aids for the inside. And you know what? 7 years to one person is 7 weeks to another. We're all on our own healing journeys, and it can take as much or as little time as we want. And no one's here to judge anyone's journey. That's the great thing about the DeAndra Show. Why don't we go back to the phones? And this is Amanda?
No, it's Dennis again. I didn't think I'd get it.
Dennis, great. You called back. Isn't
that
nice?
I called back. And
it got disconnected.
It came back on again. I just want to say it's awesome. I got on twice in a row. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye, Dennis. Thank you so much. Take great care, okay? That's Dennis needing a bit of extra attention tonight, and that's what the DeAndra Show is all about. We're happy to give it. And wherever you are tonight, I hope that you're in a bubble bath, maybe, or sitting on the deck with a glass of wine. In any event, I hope you're enjoying the company of the most important person in your life, you. Let's go back to the phones. I think, is Amanda here? Yeah, Amanda's on the line. Hello, Amanda.
No, it's Dennis again.
Oh, great.
I can't believe it's still open, the line.
Yeah, just so you must have still been on hold that entire time.
Yeah, but I was thinking, like, when we were talking before, like, when we broke up, and I forgot to tell you her name.
Oh, well, you know, we like to guard people's privacy here, and there are two sides to every story. Oh. But what is her name?
Well, her name was Toblera.
It was what now?
Toblera, like Toblerone, but Toblera.
Oh, Toblera, or Toblera, isn't that pretty?
Yeah.
How unusual.
She's Swiss.
She's Swiss. Well, it sounds like there was lots of holes in your relationship, so yeah. Isn't that kind of ironical?
She said something about the Alps when she hit me with a hammer.
Oh, dear. Well, I'm so sorry to hear that. It was better in the head than in the Vienna sausage. Thanks so much, Dennis. I think Amanda's been patiently waiting on the line. I'm going to take her call now. Take care, Dennis, okay?
Hello?
Amanda, finally.
Hi.
How are you this evening?
Hi, Deandra.
Hi. I'm so glad you could call. Tell me where you are and what you're doing to pamper yourself this evening.
Well, I'm in my parents' basement.
Okay.
And that's in Oakville.
Okay, well, isn't it nice? Because sometimes it's like our parents' place is like going back to the womb and putting on a big, fuzzy overcoat of nostalgic, protective feelings.
Yeah, but this, listen, yeah. Deandra, there's this beautiful guy I like, and I want to talk to him, and I don't know what to say.
Okay, have you tried saying hi? Just hi. Just like hello or hi.
I do, but I always worry the next line.
Okay.
I get
so
scared.
Can you describe in vivid detail his gorgeousity?
Well, he's about 6 foot one.
Okay.
And he's got kind of, he's got a nice big eyes. Big, big green eyes.
I've always been a sucker for big eyes.
Got kind of cauliflower ears a bit. But
oh, that's okay. That's okay. You know what? That's what makes him him. Those are the lines in his story. This is his narrative.
Yeah, and he's nice. He's got some big lips and cigarette burn on his face.
Ooh, tender lips and kinda scars.
Tough.
Isn't that the strength of a man?
Tough thing going on, I guess.
So he's kind of a big, tough customer who might like to boss you around a little bit. Is that your thing?
Yeah, he works at the Ferndale Comet. And I just
see
him a lot when I'm getting gas.
Okay, so what does he do there? Is he a gasman?
He's in the middle there, the attendant. He's always out there first to say, can I help you? Can I get
I love a man in a uniform.
He cleans my window.
There's just something so erotic, dramatic rather, about a man in a uniform with big, tough scars on his face and of a certain height.
And even when he comes out in the winter, he's got just a t-shirt on. The Ferndale Comet shirt.
Yes, yes. Can you describe the nape of his neck?
It's hairy.
That's one of my favorite things, is to tie little bows in a gentleman's neck hair.
You know
little
what?
Bow ties.
I guess you could say he kind of looks like, a little bit like Bruno Gerussi.
Oh, indeed. Exotic and erotic.
And he's always...
Have you had your intimacy passport stamped from different countries around the world?
That's a little... I guess that's a bit personal, but...
Well, we're just two friends sharing.
There was a guy from Quebec.
Okay, so still Canadian, but adventurous, sure.
And a couple guys from Nova Scotia.
Oh, indeed, at the same time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, no, I mean, like, the same summer.
Oh, I get it. For heaven's sake, Amanda, my mind sometimes just goes to the most erotic place. I can't help it. I guess it's I'm alone in a dark room, hearing voices in the night, trying
anyway,
to keep...
Anyway, I want to know what I should ask him.
Well, what I always say to people is the heart is the thing that communicates first. The heart and the pheromones are guiding the charge. So what you say with your voice is actually secondary to what you've said with your loins, knowingly or unknowingly.
What should I wear when I go see him?
Is there a Le Chateau in your town?
Yes.
Yeah, so maybe a crop top or a bustier. Just something casual, like, do you know skorts?
Oh, yeah, I got
Yeah, so
pairs.
It's like a skirt, but at the same time it says, mister, not so fast. There's yeah. still another layer to work through.
That sounds great. Should I get, like, lots of...
A bustier and skorts. Just something that's, like, really casual. Don't make it look like you're trying too hard. So bustier, skorts, and pumps?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Have you seen the Doc Marten platform kind of boot shoes, but they're super fun?
DeAndre, I have a pair.
Yeah, so maybe something like that. Just like, hey, threw this on the way to Sobeys. Not you know trying what? To catch your attention at all.
I'm going to go now. Thanks a lot.
Even though between us girls, Amanda, we both know you are trying to catch his attention, aren't you?
Yeah.
You silly thing. Between us girls, you go, okay?
Yeah.
That's Amanda on the line tonight. Isn't that so fun to think of someone else's love about to bloom just like flowers in the springtime? There was a magnolia tree behind my grandparents' farm, and for a week every May, I would just stand in my bedroom window, wonder why I didn't have any friends, and watch the blooms on the magnolia tree appear and then disappear, just like my hopes of a social life in high school. Nice image, isn't it? With that, let's take it back to the phones. No name given here, but I gather it's a gentleman? Good evening?
How are you?
I'm fine. Who is this, please?
I'd like to not disclose my name.
Oh, okay. Anonymous. Kind of 30 Shades of Grey. Interesting. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you calling from?
Well,
who's with you tonight?
I'm a businessman. I like to go on trips. I like to do a lot of traveling.
Oh, travel. That's so adventurous and erotic.
I like Vegas.
Oh, Las Vegas. Where what happens there, I gather, it stays there for the most part.
You could say everything I do stays there.
Oh, intriguing. I love a good riddle. So why are you calling this evening?
Well, I was just wondering. I just heard about you talking with the other caller. Sounds like you're a little bit hot to trot.
I'm sorry?
I was just wondering if I could come by there, maybe buy a milkshake and some mints. Speaking of mints, I gotta crunch, 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 crunch.
Sir, I am disgusted by your tone, but I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a tiny bit intrigued. What makes you think you can call up my radio show, get through right away, and put the makes on me over the airwaves? I mean, it is as outrageous as it is erotic.
I'll meet you at the Ponderosa. I'll be the guy in the sweaty tux. Kind of overweight.
Oh, you sure know how to treat a lady.
Kind of overweight, and I'll have my hand in the mints, crunch, crunch, and I also... I'm bald and kind of ugly, look a little bit like Danny DeVito. Crunch,
I'm okay crunch. To get down and dirty, if that's what you're asking.
Well, we can...
In my fifth marriage, that was actually at its core. That's what brought us together, and indeed it's what repelled us at the same time. It was like, I love how much I
Listen,
hate
I,
you.
I ain't got time for the talking. You want
to
meet
oh,
me or not?
Right to business.
That's right.
Well, my show is over in 27 minutes, and if you can't wait that long, sir...
Hell, let's make it easy. I'm at the Ramada Inn, room 133, around the corner. Crunch, crunch.
Oh, next, you're going to say you're going to come right down to the station at 112 Staples Street, and I'll let you into the studio while I'm on the air. Is that where this is headed?
I'm on my way. See you later.
For heaven's sake. We'll see if that's true. I'll leave the back door unlocked when I go to blow a dart during the next Chardet break. I appreciate your call, sir, and I appreciate where you're coming from. But ladies, let this be a lesson that you never know when your boat is going to get rocked, which is why you should remain open to all the fish in the sea. I'm DeAndre.
Hey.
Thanks so much for listening.
Hey, baby, let's go here. Come on.
I'm afraid your phone line is still open, sir.
No, I'm in the room with you. Behind you. Look behind you.
Oh, my goodness. So, wow.
Hey, let's
Aren't you a mysterious, shadowy stranger?
Why don't you just cut this out here? Let's do this.
Let me re-cue Chardet and let's get to know each other a little bit. Is that possible?
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
My producer through the glass is saying they'll be able to play Chardet again. I'm DeAndre. Thanks for listening. Be open to adventure. We'll be right back.
Crunch, 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 crunch.
I love DeAndre.
That's classic.
It is Delilah, and sometimes when I've been driving through the States, I've heard this radio show, Delilah, and that's kind of how she talks. And she does, like, she always has kind of a wide-eyed whimsy looking at the world of love and the kooky strangers who cross our paths.
Wow.
But everything, she brings everything back to eroticism, for sure.
When you're driving around, listening to it.
Driving through the States, like the girls are in bed or something, Carol's reading her book. Fire up the Delilah on the tuner, whatever town we're passing through.
Is it on, like, all the time, no matter when?
Yeah, it's one of those, like, I don't even know how she does 4 hours a night. Hey, bud, how's cottage times?
Ooh, it's nice. We got a good day going here. We got Lisa's brother Clay's here today, and Toolsy's coming by.
Come on!
Yeah!
He's a good summertime cottage bud.
Summertime hang. Tube
yeah.
top.
Yeah, is he on vacay?
Summer of Dan. Yeah, he's psyched. He's on his way over here.
Awesome. Is he on vacation, or he's just taking a Sunday day boiler?
I think they're off the month of August, right?
Wicked.
It's great, yeah. Beautiful.
Well, you'll be pleased to know we got all our posts in for the fence. It was pumping concrete around with my bod Jamie trying to get the stuff in.
So when do you think the fence will be done?
Well, the posts are all in. Yeah. He's finishing up the concrete, and then it's fence time.
So that should be a couple
of days.
So
far, there are two little baby deers that the girls have been watching in our field. And so far, we haven't come out in the morning and seen baby deers in the field, in the pool, which is good.
So there's the other thing is by next week's app, you'll be full on then.
What's yes, the next queen.
Step? Deck?
Yeah.
That's the next move?
Yeah. So fence and deck, bud.
Ooh. Oh, that's happening at the same time.
Yeah.
So
fence first to keep the baby deer out, and then the deck.
Yeah, so you might be legit still rocking with the whole on the little
here's spa. I will leave you with this. Here's classic my father-in-law relationship with me. I was working with Jamie doing the concrete all day yesterday, like from probably 1 till 5. It was 100 degrees.
Yeah.
It was soaked. 5:01, we call it. I jump in the pool. 5:02, my father-in-law pulls in the driveway while Jamie's putting all the tools away, and it looks like I'm lounging in the pool watching him. Come on!
Classic, right? Always.
Classic.
Ah.
Let's take a break, bud.
Hi, bud.
Let me ask you this right quick, you know what I mean?
And here we are. It's me. But we have a little change here. It's not quite Taggart and Torrance a second, because I'm up at the cottage, and we've had a busy week. But I got my buddy Toolsy over here. Hey!
Hey, bud!
Hey!
I've never done a podcast with no shirt on.
Yeah, well, I've never done a podcast with just you and me.
Yeah.
How about that? Taggart and Toolsy. Hey,
and my nips are out.
And your nipples are out. I don't know why you have to keep saying that. So we're in Muskoka, having a good time.
Yeah, this is the second annual excursion up here.
Summer of Dan in Muskoka. We've been bathing in the sun and hanging out, and you've had a couple of pops.
Oh yeah, we got. Does that sound?
So how are you enjoying your vacation?
Great. Head to PEI. Jonathan actually gave me his PEI itinerary.
Oh yeah.
So it's very busy.
Yeah,
it's a lot of things.
Are you going to the Canton Cafe to get some?
I don't like scheduling things.
Yeah, just see how it goes. Yeah. Everything's nice and close there. It's just easy to rip around.
How big is the island? So I leave there on Wednesday. Like, you can drive around.
Right? Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's a good few hours rip around. I don't know.
Exactly. And you can run out in the mud and get all muddy?
Oh, yeah. There's all kinds of good stuff. The best is the beaches. You got to hit the red sand beaches.
Ruby O'Toole and I, we've got a mission to eat lobster every day.
Really?
Yeah.
Or just any kind of seafood?
No, lobster. Lobster.
Do you like everything?
I do like everything. I know. So one of my old neighbors, his dad was a lobster fisherman, Brent, and he ate it so much, like he had to eat the guts, like the green part.
Oh, is that?
Like put it on toast in the morning. So he
are you a
never
green
eats
part?
Lobster.
Green?
No, you can't eat that.
The green
still,
part
they're
guy?
Still cutting the rocks.
Yeah, they're
over
cutting
there.
Rocks over there at the cottage across the way. They're cutting rocks.
They've been cutting rocks all day.
They're cutting
Who rocks? Cuts rocks?
Well. I imagine some of the cottages are cutting rocks at night in the parties. The scoops? Bet you there's a lot of people up here doing scoops at night. Not a lot, but
well, we're in the Canadian Shield, so you probably have to cut a lot of rock. You know, I mentioned this before, but last summer when I came
up. Close the door here before we
okay. Last summer when I came up was the first time, and I'm 42 and I live in Ontario. First time I'd ever been to the Muskokas.
Because that's the, well, that's your Peterborough.
Why I grew up in cottage country.
Yeah, so you're like, why would I go there? That would almost be like a Red Sox fan going to a Yankees game.
Yeah.
In a way, right? It's like, screw you, this is the cottage. And
but they're up here, there's a whole different level of wealth. It's like if you go to the Hamptons. Yeah.
Yes, it is very much like that.
Where you go to houses and you're like, what, you only live here like a month or two of the year?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of the similar idea to glamping as what cottaging in Muskoka is.
Like, we're sitting in a room right now that is out of a magazine.
Yes.
Like, this room is crazy. And it's a boathouse.
Yeah, I know.
And I had a sauna, like a...
Yeah, a steamer.
A steam sauna earlier, and it's underneath us in the boathouse. And there's three boats in this building that are probably all worth like $100,000.
Yeah, it's insane. And then when you go into town, it's like you just... You know, it's like Whole Foods in Port Carling.
But it's a food land.
Well, no, I'm saying it. That's the clientele.
I know.
Although anywhere, whether you go couldn't to the ice cream the shop or
couldn't
whether
find
you...
the chips at Foodland. Finally, I had to ask. They're hidden in the
different
section.
Yeah, there's a whole other chip aisle. Yeah.
I'm a Foodland guy. Yeah. I shop at Foodland when I'm back home.
Did Foodland used to be IGA? I think it did, right?
I don't know.
I was an IGA kid.
Yeah, I grew up with an IGA until it burned down. Yeah, grocery store.
Do you think it was an insurance move?
Well,
or
people that are from Peterborough will know it used to be out on Highway 7, and the IGA burned down. Yeah.
The IGA in Alliston, I remember, was not bad. I bought the right next door. There was the record store, and I bought Born in the USA, first single, and Delirious. The Eddie Murphy comedy album.
I've never
seen
that.
It lasted all of about 10 minutes in the house before Ronnie got to the tape and threw it in the garbage.
Did he? Did he like it?
Well, he just was listening to how crazy
it was. It was very vulgar, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
What was the one comedy troupe? I think they were Canadian. Was it like Mike and Mike or something? I remember finding a tape of
Mike and Mike from Much Music?
No. Like, they were a comedy troupe that swore, and I remember finding the tape in my brother's desk in his room. Like, it was like contraband.
Oh. And did you play it and get in trouble?
I think I did play it, and I'm like, ooh, this is naughty.
See, my brother used to have, like, a big those old, like, war lockers, you know, like, for the army lockers.
Oh, yeah,
those big, huge ones. And that always had the contraband in it, you know, like the magazines and the whatever.
Oh, like
else.
The Playboys?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, lift it up, but the only thing was like, if you ever hit the lid, you get blown up. Because you know that's what's going on in there.
I'll get back to IGA. Jay.
Because it's a good, always got to get back to IGA.
Jay always wears an IGA tube.
That's right.
He's got an IGA tube that he found in his grandfather's garage, and he wears it to this day. He wore it. To the gold medal game, I believe, in Vancouver. The 2010 gold medal.
It's one of those toques that's so thin it doesn't do anything? One of those? Or is it good school? It's good?
A good toque will last 300 years.
Like a Farley Mowat toque?
Oh, yeah. I grew up on a farm, and we had so many toques because when you bought seed, they'd give you toques.
Yeah.
So we'd have like Pioneer toques.
Co-op toques.
Like, it was like, yeah, all the seeds that you bought at the, the whatever, food.
The grain, granary?
Yeah, but Ernie Boyles. Ernie Boyles.
Ernie Boyles?
Yeah.
B-O-I?
B-O-Y.
B-O-Y-L. Okay. Can't be the other Boyles. Burley Boyles.
Oh, have you ever been in a grain store? Like a farm store?
Yeah, there was
the
one.
The smell is just, oh.
Yeah, it reeks.
It's the best smell.
Oh,
it's
really?
Just smell. Because you got fertilizers, you've got seeds.
Because I remember
everything going on.
When I lived in Barrie, I'd walk down Innisfil Street to St. John Vianney, and there was one of those grain kind of deals there. And it always smelled like kind of like a brewery almost, you know, like a hoppy reek.
I'd always go there because you could get the, they had the old school Coke machine with the bottles. Like, it was like original.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like 50 cents.
Yeah, real prices.
Coke out. Yeah.
real prices like the Bob's, the general store in Mansfield. That was the same deal.
One of those bottles, for some reason, my dad put some old oil in it once, and my brother drank it.
Oh, what do you mean?
He drank
like
the oil.
Like olive oil or something?
No, like oil from a car. What are you doing putting that in a motor car?
Oil?
Yeah, and what? First off, so
how
many,
did he not notice?
Okay, there's so many things with this.
How much did he get in without going, hey, that's his oil?
And do you just grab a Coke off the ground that's got the lid off it?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, the worst thing I've ever done, I think, grossest.
Both parties were guilty.
Yeah,
my dad
sure.
guilty.
A warm oil filled.
Why would you ever put something that looks like Coke in a Coke bottle? And then my brother for picking it up off the ground.
And chugging it. It was closed, obviously, right?
No, there's no lid on it. Probably.
Oh, one of the grossest things ever happened to me, and I'm sure everybody's done this, is the old, the can, like a Diet Coke that you thought you were drinking, and you grab it, and there's a dart in the bottom.
Oh, yeah. That's what I used to do when I first started going to the bars.
That's the worst.
Me and my buddy would go, we'd be like, oh, I only spent $10 last night, because he'd walk around the bar and pick up half-drank beers, because we had no money. And then finally, the butts hit the lips, and then I'm just like, I can't do that anymore.
That's disgusting.
I know.
But I still remember that dark, disgusting flavor of rancid nicotine.
But
darts.
As soon as it hits your lips, you're like, oh.
It's like, I've done it. It's like, I've done it. I've gone and done it. I've gone over the edge. There's no coming back from the dart at the bottom of the pop can.
No, you learn your lesson once.
One of those red cups. What
red
are they called?
Solo cup. Do you like that song, Toby Keith?
You love country music, and it's great because filling in for Jonathan, who is a big new country fan.
Oh, he's a big new country fan.
Well, yeah. Well, Carol's a big country fan, his wife.
He doesn't find it's...
Like, he's been to Boots and Hearts.
It's, like, repetitive.
Yeah. Well, I think it's probably the most formulated
yes.
music there is. Not like, in a bad way. It's just, like, it's, like, classic.
Yeah.
Like, ABC versus choruses. It's, like... The same 15 guys recording every single song.
I feel bad. My niece is always at our house, and she and her mom, my sister, listen to new country, and I always make her turn it off because I'm like, I don't know. So,
yeah.
Sorry.
But then you ever be in a bar in America and something comes on and everyone knows every single word?
I mentioned this.
I've never
heard
this one song.
When I was in Bristol.
They just start going nuts.
When I was in Bristol.
Honky tonk driving in a car, driving a chick in a pickup truck. And
they were line dancing to it.
Yeah, everyone
knows it was at a bar called the Electric Cowboy, which is now closed in like Johnson City.
Yeah.
Tennessee.
And they just turn it on every boom.
Yes.
It's on every single one.
Nuts. Place goes nuts.
Yeah, that's something to experience.
I've got a lot of country records, but it's like Waylon Jennings and George Jones and all that stuff.
I remember when I went to the Masters in 2005, and I went to a bar in Augusta.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like one of those where you walk in and everyone looks at you like, what are you doing in here kind of bars?
Yeah.
Where it's like all you can buy is the bucket full of beers and it's like tables and everybody was just...
Everyone's got a dip in?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was tough. It was rough and tumble. And just as soon as people started really getting banged up, the songs started and they knew... I was like, oh, the fuck.
Those bars
any
are
of
so
these songs.
Fun, though. Once you get past the uneasiness, then you're like, oh, this is going to be a good
but
time.
I wasn't accepted still.
Oh, no?
Yeah, no.
You didn't have a belt buckle or a hat?
No, I just couldn't fit in with the long hair and glasses at the time.
Wait, the old Waylon had... Well, no, Waylon didn't really have long hair.
Yeah. The outlaws are the still outlaws for a reason.
Yeah.
Drinking and cheating songs.
Did you ever watch the Mike Judge? Is he the guy who...
Beavis and Butthead?
But he came up with Tales from the Tour Bus?
No, what's that?
So... All these guys that used to play with Waylon and George and that.
Oh, cool.
He sits them down, they tell stories from the road, and he animates it.
No way.
So they tell a story like about Waylon Jennings, and one of the funniest is Waylon one night, and his son tells the story. Shooter, I think it's Shooter Jennings.
Mm-hmm.
He said, George was over one night, and he was into it again. And finally, my dad had enough, so he took him out back and tied him to a tree.
What?
So George is yelling, I'm the greatest country singer in the world. You don't know what you're doing. And Waylon said, yeah, but right now you're tied to an effing tree.
What the hell?
Yeah. That's insane. Yes. He tied George Jones. So they animate all this. It's amazing. It's HBO.
I played golf with that's the King of the Hill guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I played golf with the Broomhauer guy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he had some...
Boomhauer.
Boomhauer. He had some great stories about, like, one in particular.
Where'd you play golf with him?
In L.A. I can't remember that little...
Like, was it a tournament, or you just...
No, just at that crappy little... I don't know where it is, but it's like... everybody plays there. Yeah, one of those places you play, and it's like always. I saw Mario Batali with Crocs.
Yeah, he's always good.
On the green.
Orange Crocs. Yeah.
Greasy Mario.
Yeah.
But anyway, he told me these crazy stories. One of them was how much does the Simpsons, the original six, make? Apparently, they make like over $1 million an episode.
Yeah. I went to a table read for the Simpsons once.
Really?
Jay and I both went, yeah. It was awesome.
Was it?
So everyone sits around this table, like you're on the outskirts against the wall. The main characters, like a minute before it starts, come in, and then they start their table read, and then the second it's over, they're gone. But Matt Groening sticks around, and he'll sign your script and stuff. So we got, and he draws a little picture of like Bart or something.
Wow. Yeah. So that they do that like once. Once a day or something, or for
once
like,
a week maybe.
Was it and corporate, then, like just for people to throw down huge cash to do it?
No, I think it was just like guests.
Really,
I didn't have to pay anything because we worked there. It was on the Fox lot.
Yeah,
but that's their work week. They go there.
That was it.
They do changes on the fly. Hank Azaria was not there, and Marge was not there.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy who does Homer, he was there. Frank Castellaneta. Yeah.
Harry Shearer there?
And he sits there and does the finger to the ear while he's doing his lines. But it's amazing to see Homer's voice right in front of you.
And all loud, yeah.
And it's like the jokes are killer in the room.
Yeah.
Like it's just like everyone's losing.
And you're laughing your head off.
Yeah. So it was really cool. That was a cool experience.
That is interesting. Because they do that live, right? Haven't they? They've done like them on stage doing stuff. I've seen that.
I haven't seen
it. But that's just whatever salad. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't.
How's that water looking out there, Bart?
Can we open the door again?
Yeah, let's get the door open again. Let's get the door open again.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Well, again, they're just ripping up that Canadian shield.
They are. They're just crushing up
the
rocks.
And you saw Tom Thompson earlier.
Tommy Thompson came by and he was gawking.
He came paddling past.
He was couldn't stop staring at us.
This one guy came paddling past. Jeremy and I were sitting on the dock. All he did was sit and stare at us for 20 minutes.
To the point where his head went, 90 degrees to one, like only at us. As if it was like a painting in the room just following us around.
Yeah.
Tommy Thompson.
I have problems with those people that are staring.
Well, that's my dad's biggest problem was what got him fired up the most was people staring at him. He probably would have jumped out there and swam to that guy.
That's your fucking problem. When was the last time you were in a canoe?
Last year, here.
You went in the canoe?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, I like canoeing. Remember, canoeing I live on a lake still, right?
The small canoeing's one. Great.
But it's, yeah.
Canoeing's way better than kayaking.
I agree. Kayaking feels more...
How do your kids like it, though? Because I can't get my daughters in a canoe. They're like, they think it's going to tip over.
A canoe? Then get in. They won't go in it because of that?
Yeah.
Did it tip over?
No.
Well, you got to get them to get in it and realize that it's nice. It's good. It's safe.
But I don't want to,
do it in a shallow area.
They would seriously be screaming.
Do they swim?
And people would, call the cops. Something's going on.
Do the girls swim?
Yeah.
Yeah? Do they, lesson styles?
Oh, yeah. My oldest is really good.
Okay.
The youngest, not so good.
So, so they have experience. It's not like if you're in shallow water, they can practice. Like, no big deal.
Okay.
That's bring it by my place.
PEI.
Oh, there you go. An ocean. That's good. Canoeing out in the ocean. No problem. Come on, girls. We're just going to go on.
Okay, so PEI, they are trained. They are ready. You know why? I've got them the map. PEI because I've got them the lyrics and they know every word to Bud the Spud.
Oh, see, that's a good dad right there. Teaching them the right stuff.
They're like, but they like Stompin' Tom, Big Joe Muffer, I bet.
Oh, that's a good jam.
Paddling from Ottawa.
There's not a bad
Stompin' Tom's. Yeah, maybe I'm the Wind, but that's still not bad. Remember that one? That was one of his later jams, like 94.
Do you know?
Still, I feel bad. It's actually a good jam.
Do you know where he got the nickname Stompin'?
From stomping on the piece of wood.
Do you know where he got that, though?
I don't know. Why did he start doing
it? In my hometown, Peterborough.
Really?
The article came out. They said, and Stompin' Tom Connors was here last night because he was stomping the whole time.
Oh, destroying the stage?
Yeah.
Because he would chop. He would bring the same
piece of
wood.
He got his nickname Stompin' Tom.
Yeah.
From Peterborough.
Imagine he's got some shin splints.
How has there not been a movie done on him?
I know. Another Canadian legend that somehow
doesn't
get...
With your company, why don't you guys do that? Pitch that.
The Stompin' Tom story?
Who would play Stompin' Tom?
Well, I would prefer more of a like an in-depth documentary than like a movie about him. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because those are great. Like those really hardcore ones that like take you right into the guy. Like how Scorsese did like the George Harrison one.
Like, did Stompin' Tom make money or did he just got by?
He was just on the road all the time.
He didn't
get
rich.
One of those. No. I think he was like really a Rolling Stone, just constantly playing because he had to.
Yeah, and I'll talk about...
Because he was never playing.
Talk about Canadiana.
Yeah. Well, he was that show, that famous concert at the Horseshoe. He never really got much bigger than that. He wasn't even... I don't even think... he was never playing to thousands and thousands of people every night. It was always just more of the... This was the guy that's just part of this country, and all he does is go from corner to corner.
And he's got one of the greatest lyrics in the history of music. Well, the girls are up to bingo and the boys are getting stingo. Yeah. My girls sing that now. And they're like, what's stingo? I'm like, well, that's when the boys
banged
have
up.
A bit too many beers.
Seeing snakes. All right. That's it.
What?
That's it. We ripped through.
Holy.
That's our God. 20 minutes, bots.
Meanwhile, we've got a Hello magazine that's got a terrifying picture on here of Prince George and Philip. Is that Henry or what?
No, Philip's the old guy.
Oh.
Isn't it?
William?
Who was the one who just got married?
Harry,
yeah, that's William. And that's, it looks kind of... I don't know.
Who buys these?
I do. No, I'm kidding. Imagine. Do you like those
ones? Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
How much did they get for these?
That's not Alec Baldwin, is it? Oh, it is. All right.
Okay. Alec and Hillary.
He's got new kids? He's got kids? More kids?
Yeah.
Is he going to yell at them when they're 15 on the phone?
Shh.
All right.
He's great. I love Alec.
Okay, let's take
If you ever get a chance, watch 30 Rock.
It's a good
start
show.
From like
I know.
Episode
love it.
One.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Thanks, Toolsy.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well,
I can't wait for year three next year.
Yeah, and see, you guys are off too right now. Jay and Dan Pod is taking a little break for August, right?
We're doing best ofs.
I like that idea, though.
So they're
like,
piecing them together, my old Olga saga and all
Oh,
that.
Really? Okay, yeah. Nice. But I do like the pause because it kind of gives you a little a refresher. It's
exactly.
Back.
We'll come back with new vim and vigor.
That's right. Okay, thanks, Pod.
Do you use vim?
What is that?
It's a cleaner.
Hairdo?
It's a cleaner.
Vim, like on the floors?
It's like
countertops?
To like clean sinks and bathtubs.
So steel surfaces?
Ceramic.
Anything hard? Ceramic? Vim? I'll get some Vim. We can get a Vim sponsorship? What's your sponsor right now?
Coors Light.
That's right.
That's what I'm having. A tasty Coors Light right now on ice.
You are, actually. All right, Bots. Thanks, Bots.
Doom gum gang of doom gum jubo bounce doom bam bam ticka doom dowry.